and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Tonight, we'll be discussing the cancelling of the Good Vibes Music Festival over the weekend and the future of live events in Malaysia. To recap, what happened over the weekend was the Communications and Digital Minister Fahmi Fazil had ordered an immediate cancellation of the remaining 2 days of the Good Vibes Festival. This after the performance of the band, The 1975, during which frontman Matty Healy, while holding what is believed to be a bottle of alcohol, addressed the audience in a profanity-laden speech before kissing guitarist Ross McDonald. Now, in the aftermath of this incident, what might future events look like in Malaysia? Joining me on the show today, we have Para Rajagopal, who is the chairperson of the Arts Life Festival and Events Association, ALIFE. Thank you so much, Para, for joining me on the show today. Let's get your thoughts over what happened over the weekend. How do you make of how the events unfolded?
Thanks, Melissa, for having me. I guess this is also in everybody's mind, what happened and what is going to happen to our industry. So for me, I guess this is the take that we are currently doing some detailed investigation of the entire, you know, incident that has happened, that has taken place. But from my quick review on social media and also our, we have ALIFE as a team that is working on this crisis now with the promoters. This is the unofficial take that we are kind of concluding that it seems to be more like a publicity stunt that the band or maybe the singer individually himself has taken on the stands to get attention, because there is clearly some track record that he has done this in other cities. And more information is coming out about, you know, what he's done, the way he behaves and all that. This is something that we are gathering as we speak. There has been an incident where, you know, this was already flagged off by Puspal. And the promoter also has known about these facts that, you know, there is some erratic behavior of this artist.
Okay.
So they have actually spoke to the management to ensure that they will follow all the guidelines strictly, because, you know, we have a strict guideline on performance of international artists here.
Right. Okay. Just to jump in there very quickly, Para, do you think that the festival organizers could have anticipated this or managed this better, given the fact, as you said, Matt Healy has a record of doing something similar in Dubai a few years ago, considering that, you know, we have legal and social stance here on LGBTQ rights, and Matt Healy has been very vocal about it previously. Could this have been anticipated and managed better?
Yeah, I think the very fact that he was very upset about it, if you can see, and he's brought that up as a fact that he is trying to advocate, is because the promoter has been constantly reminding them about their, you know, guidelines in Malaysia. So that is the fact that they this is all basically unofficial, but I believe there is also some sort of a legal case now going to be, you know, in the works. Right. But they have signed off a document saying that they will adhere to the guidelines.
I understand. So, you know, so
you are also managing director of PR Worldwide, which is the producer, the promoter bringing in Coldplay into Malaysia for the act. So when you approach international acts like Coldplay, Para, how do you discuss these types of potential topics? How might this incident serve as, I don't know, a cautionary tale to other international acts coming in, other promoters bringing in international acts to the country?
Yeah, for me, when I put on the head of a business person for PR Worldwide and Live Nation, when we make an offer to the artist, a business offer for you to perform in Malaysia, we put a clear contingent offer of what the guidelines are. So if you accept the offer, the business offer, you also accept the guidelines. So it becomes an offer and acceptance contractual obligation by both parties to ensure that there is no such default of any areas of the contract, you know, especially the code of conduct of the artists in Malaysia, because we have quite one of the stricter guidelines in the region. But obviously we because of the social fabric of our country and, you know, and all the sensitivities, we totally understand that these are the instances why these guidelines are to avoid this kind of incidents. You know, so we have worked very closely with the communication ministry and now which is the digital ministry to ensure that our industry has got a equal playing chance in the region, you know, so that those are the areas where we have worked hard together. Okay. And now it sets back all our hard work over the years, the last couple of years after the pandemic, where we were seeing many a good momentum of acts coming into Malaysia, you know, and most of the events went through without any of this kind of incidents. So, you know, we are saddened and regretfully saying that, you know, it's an act of an irresponsible artist. And we fully back the ministry for banning the artist.
Okay. All right. So you said that Malaysia has pretty strict guidelines when it comes to bringing in international acts to the country. Can you walk us through what the usual procedure is, what's involved in getting these permits and approvals to bring in, to discuss with the artist management team? I'm quite curious to know whether you think that PUSPAL, as you mentioned, the central agency that's in charge of this, whether they might tighten that list, make it even harder for promoters to bring in live acts.
I'm sure we are expecting that type of, you know, stance now, which is what has happened. But I also think that there should be an overall careful deliberation of how both parties can, you know, navigate through these difficult times and ensure that nobody is punished for the industry players who are following the guidelines, the artists which are following the guidelines. So I think we should have a bit more level-headedness coming out of this crisis and no knee-jerk reaction, and hopefully we will come through this stronger and learn from this, that, you know, these are the instances how government and private parties can come together and ensure that this segment of the economic reliefs that we give to the tourism can carry on, you know, operating in a more, I guess, competitive manner around the region. At the same time, we uphold all the rules and the regulation and our culture, which is very important for the country.
Right. I mean, you're absolutely right. It is quite a reactive period right now. I mean, emotions are running high at the moment. So any changes that take place right now ought to be deliberated before they're set in stone. Can I ask you, given the fact that this incident had received so much international coverage, how do you foresee international artists reacting to the incident? Do you anticipate that artists may avoid performing in Malaysia due to, you know, concerns that controversies like this might happen again, cancellations like these might happen again?
Yeah, I think any level-headed person, wherever you are, whether you're in LA or New York or, you know, in any part of the world, they understand that this kind of act is something you should, regret or condemn doing it. You know, because it's not right. You go to a country, you accepted the guidelines of the country, you took the money, and then you went against everything that you agreed to do, you know?
Is that how it's being covered in the international media? Is it being condemned by the entertainment industry internationally?
I have not seen anything out there yet. But from my communications with our partners, our promoter partners, our agents, they all think this is a real bad thing for any country, because they they've also cancelled the other shows in the region. You know, not only Malaysia. So they cancelled a show in Taiwan, I think. They cancelled the Jakarta show. So it is, again, for a lot of us, it's business. And, you know, it's business loss because we committed, you know, the fans, they paid for the tickets. You know, there's so much of cancellation damages that we need to go through. So it's, and the agents who book these bands, they are also, who I think they're based in UK or based in, you know, LA, they are also basically part of this whole fiasco now, you know.
So I
can assure you, although they might not voice out or maybe in particular, but I know that this is something they also want to avoid and don't want to, you know, lose business in any part of the world.
Right. Para, can I ask you, moving forward, what would you like to see as an organizer? What specific changes might you be, might you like to see in terms of the rules and regulations governing live events in Malaysia? What would you like to see change or improve to ensure that there is a more conducive environment, that Malaysia is an attractive proposition for international acts to come in? And so we might get the multiplier effects of them bringing their business in.
Yeah, I think we cannot just focus on the rules and regulations alone to see, to get the overall multiplier effect, because there are a lot of other economic reasons why an artist chooses a destination of Malaysia or not, because we have to look at the overall reasoning from, you know, our currencies, like level, you know, our currencies are a bit weaker than the, you know, the other what regional peers. We also look at facilities. We also can look at the area of, you know, how many professional establishments are here to handle big scale events. You know, so they we cannot just narrow it down to regulations, but I think for sure that there are some areas in that area where we can improve from a smoother approval process, a smoother immigration process for the artists to, you know, to have an online immigration visa permit to work. You know, so these are the areas where we are actually constantly in touch with Puspal. But it's work in progress at currently.
So what makes Malaysia an attractive proposition then? Why would an international act want to come to Malaysia given all these challenges that are already in existence?
I think Malaysia is one of the most underrated country in the world, I guess. Because Malaysia is a beautiful country. We've got so much to offer. I've been in the business for the last 25 years. We brought acts from Selena Gomez to Taylor Swift to Ed Sheeran, you know. So and every artist that comes to Malaysia, they really feel that it's such a beautiful country to come, and they've got passionate fans. And, you know, we sell out shows very fast. You know, we are at par with any of our regional peers. One of our bigger challenges are also the way the political or maybe the more of the extreme views that we get publicized. It multiplies the and takes away all the positives out of what this country can offer. Right. So it's quite a shame that, you know, we are not projecting more of the best qualities of this country.
It boils down to brand Malaysia, doesn't it?
Yes.
Para, thank you so much for speaking with me. I appreciate your time. Para Rajagopal from Alive, that is the Arts Live Festival and Events Association. We're going to take a very quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our conversation about what happened over the weekend with the cancelling of the Good Vibes Music Festival and what will happen in the future. What is in store for the live events industry in Malaysia? Joining me now is Iqbal Amir. He's the founder and CEO of the Livescape Group, and he's also Vice President of the Arts, Live Festivals and Events Association, known as ALIFE. Iqbal, thank you for joining me on the show today. Given what's happened with the Good Vibes Festival and its consequent cancellation, I'm just wondering, what challenges do you foresee this incident having on posing for future events in Malaysia?
The people in the live entertainment industry are fearful. They're scared. Ben Law from Good Vibes Music Festival, they were celebrating their 10-year anniversary. They've been in this industry for a long, long time. And for their show to be cancelled in the blink of an eye because of something that was completely out of their control, this has sent ripple effects down in the live entertainment industry. You know, we have over 100 concerts lined up between now and December. And people are scared, they're fearful, you know. So if you're talking about impact, right now it's fear.
Fear that a similar type of incident could happen from an international act, or fear that the state could clamp down if an international act does something they don't like? Where is the fear stemming from?
Yeah, so the fear is stemming from actually all around, right? Because right now, the government is discussing a tightening regulations now, tightening PUSPA guidelines. You know, in a week they want to announce this. You know, what is going to happen to people who've already got their permit approvals, who have already gotten their artist approvals? What sort of guidelines are going to be imposed then? How about sponsors that have initially committed to finance these music festivals or these concerts? What if they pull out? What's the fan confidence in terms of people purchasing tickets? These are all the fears that they're going to have, you know. So the ripple effect is great, you know, and it will continue to happen.
Since you brought up PUSPAL, I'm quite curious to better understand PUSPAL, being the central agency that regulates all the permits to bring in foreign artists. How difficult is it to bring in a foreign artist? How strict is the procedure? What kind of tightrope do promoters have to walk if they want to bring in an international act?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. How it works, or how we have been, our new relationship with PUSPA over the past 10 years is about getting a pre-approval done. So basically, we identify an artist and we submit a pre-approval to PUSPA. And PUSPA gives us their yes or no, right? So when you get a pre-approval approved, the likelihood of you getting the full approval is very high, right? So you get that pre-approval done, and then there's a lot of backlog work that needs to be done on our side for applications and taxes and all that stuff. But basically, that's how it's always been going for this time. The tightrope that happens is sometimes these artists could have done something 15 years ago, you know, and PUSPA finds about it and brings it up, you know, and sometimes they impose things that. Most artists are actually pretty professional. Most artists actually can understand Malaysia and the guidelines and can commit to it, you know. And then you have a few bad apples.
I understand. Okay, so is your concern that PUSPA will make the regulations and the guidelines tighter? How, as a promoter, might that make impact your livelihood, your future projects?
The fear is that, I don't know if you've seen the PUSPA guidelines, but it's 74 pages long.
How many pages long is that?
It's 74 pages long, right? And it tells you a lot about what you can't do, you know, in comparison to other countries. Usually it is more of a guideline of what you can do, you know. My fear is that if you want to cover all your bases, you're going to put more things that you can't do, you know, and then what happens is the promoter doesn't want to take the risk because, you know, I'm going to book an act. I'm not sure. I can't guarantee it. I don't know, you know. You know, the action of one person on stage, which promoter can absolutely guarantee they will be fine on stage, right? You know, and that's the fear. And if that happens, I don't know which event organizer is going to take the risk.
Iqbal, is Malaysia an attractive proposition for concerts? Are we an attractive concert destination for big name international acts? And what makes for a vibrant live entertainment destination?
Well, we were an attractive destination 10 years ago. 10 years ago, we were. 10 years ago, we had music festivals every month, you know, and we had, we had big names and big concerts, and it was a driving factor because tourists love coming here. Tourists love coming here. Our labors and production costs are cheap. And we had a strong sponsorship backing, and the Malaysian Tourism Board was very, very strong in backing us in because they understood the economic impact and the ripple effect that could come in. But that was 10 years ago. You know, our tourist receipts, we are number 63 out of 64 countries, you know, in terms of tourist receipts generated. It's gone down. So if you were to ask me, like, are we still an attractive one? I think we were attractive 10 years ago.
Okay, so break it down for me. What is Malaysia's reputation as a live entertainment destination, particularly in the eyes of international music artists and promoters and their managers and that ecosystem? What is Malaysia's reputation there?
Malaysia hasn't been able to shy itself from controversy. You know, we've had the Selena Gomez case that has happened. So you know, when we talk to agents, these things come up. You know, they don't forget. They read the news too. You know, it just doesn't become attractive. And what's going to happen is that in order for the agent to risk the artist to come, you know, sometimes you have to put a lot more money on the table. You know, so costs escalate. You know. And these shows they're not cheap, right? So what happens is the agent thinks like, oh, do I take that risk, you know, and come here, you know, even if it's the 10% risk, right? You know, something might happen, or do I go somewhere else, you know, like Singapore or Indonesia or Thailand, where you know I'm much more confident in making sure that my artist is going to go and perform and right. Be fine.
Mm-hmm. All right. Iqbal, I have to ask this because you brought up the economic impact and the multiplier impact of concerts and festivals that cannot be denied on the tourism industry. But there are those who say there are other economic multipliers to look at. So what if Malaysia is not an attractive live events destination? How would you respond to those who say that maybe we're not missing out on much if international acts don't come our way?
If we weren't missing out, then you wouldn't be interviewing me right now. Yeah, you know, live entertainment is a huge part of life. You know? I mean, that's how I look at it. I've been in the industry for a long, long time. And we know, because we worked with Tourism Malaysia on economic impact. You invest 3 million ringgit, you can generate 150 million ringgit. You know, I don't know what kind of multiplier you can do that. F1 in Malaysia, I can't remember how much it costs, but it still hasn't covered it. Its costs. You know what I mean? I know that in order to generate income for the country quickly, there is no other way I can think about than doing concerts, events. You know, I like those people to give some ideas.
And as a stakeholder in the live entertainment industry, what are you doing to ensure that we recover our reputation as a vibrant destination? Are you working with Puspal? Are you giving feedback, particularly following the aftermath of the weekend's incident?
Yes, yes, we are. We're talking closely with the government bodies. I'll be honest. You know, we want what's best. And we all want to be aligned on our goals, right? We understand where the government is coming from. I personally do not agree on the action that was taken, but we understand where they're coming from.
The cancellation, you mean?
Yes, yes. And we are working closely with the government. But if I could say anything, I would ask that the people of Malaysia please go and support the events and concerts that are about to happen. You know, you need to show that we are an attractive destination. You have to buy that ticket, go for that concert, go for that gig down the road. You know, between now and December, show that we can build the confidence of the event organizers again to take that risk. The sponsors, the production companies, the local artists, you have to support them. You know, so if you love this industry as much as I do, please turun padang, you know.
Iqbal, thank you so much for speaking with me. Iqbal Amir from the Livescape Group and Alive. Wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.